95.9 WATD, the South Shore's morning news, rolling along here. Glad you're here. Text line available for you, 781-837-4900. Sponsored by AutoShine Auto Body in Abington and Braintree. Text in if you have any comments or something you want to pass along or a question for our veterinarian, perhaps about amphibians. That's going to be the topic today in our Paws and Claws segment. We do it every week at this time, sponsored by the Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. That's why you're going to call on the Clean Team to take care of all those issues when it comes to pets, whether it be fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net, thecleanteam.net. Our special guest this week on Paws and Claws is her great friend, Dr. Kira Berg. It's been a while since she's been on the program. Dr. Kira Berg, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. How have you been?
Good, good. No, it's been really nice. I'm finally, I think we're all enjoying this hot weather now, right?
I was going to say, Oh, yeah, I know. You just think about, first of all, we always talk about those reptiles enjoying this weather. We do, too,
yes,
as humans.
We absolutely
and,
do.
CapeCodVetSpecialist.com, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. That's the website. That's where Dr. Kira Berg is part of the great team, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. Once a month, they join us. The Cape is a good place to be this time of year. That's for sure, Dr. Kira Berg.
Yes.
All right. Absolutely. So this week, we thought we would get into talking about amphibians in general. As you know, just to kind of give people an update, Dr. Kira Berg, again, tell us what specifically you do, since it's been a while, just to kind of introduce, and if people have questions, your specific background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the only board-certified exotic specialist in South Shore and Cape Cod. And what it means to be a board-certified specialist is that I've gone through internships, residencies, and a second exam after passing boards for the general veterinary exam to certify that I am considered a specialist when it comes to exotics. And so my specialty is under the American College of Zoological Medicine, and specifically my specialty is zoological companion animals. So that's rabbits, ferrets, birds, reptiles, amphibians, fish, invertebrates. So basically pretty much anything that would be a pet that's not a cat or dog or a farm animal, I can treat it.
She can treat it. How about that? All right. Yeah. I've got Anthony as my intern, by the way, from Emerson.
Great.
He's going into his junior year. What do you think about that? Pretty impressive.
Oh, congrats.
Very impressive.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. She's got a lot of schooling under her belt.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so we're going to get into, we thought we'd kind of do this month, and if anybody has an amphibian, you can give us a question. But this was talking about kind of focusing on amphibians this month, and what are some things you should watch out for in terms of knowing when it's time to go to the vet, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as a gentle reminder, I think most amphibian pets owners are going to know what an amphibian is, but for those who maybe are not sure what that term is, that means anything that is a frog, a toad, a salamander, axolotls are considered amphibians. They're fully aquatic. It does not include turtles. It does not include snakes. There are some amphibians that kind of act like snakes. They're called Sicilians. Those guys are pretty cool. But so amphibians are specifically groups of animals that have both a water component and a terrestrial component, typically, to their life form.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of good just to know, just to get that out. In case, some of these times when it comes to, we know, parents and grandparents, I know kids are interested in pets, so they're, you know, with some of this you might say, I don't have an amphibian. You might not now, but you might be interested in getting one in the future. So listen up.
Or like the little froglets.
Yeah, exactly.
That come out now.
Hi, Dr. Berg. So, this is Kermit the Frog.
Okay, all right. We know he's an amphibian. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, what are we? So, what are some things, some signs? I guess are there telltale signs or things that we should notice as people?
Yes. So when, for example, Kermit the Frog is feeling a little bit under the weather, he may show us that in the sense of maybe not eating as much, not moving around as much. So if he's normally in a certain part of the enclosure and then now all of a sudden he's near the bottom or he's hiding more, that gets us concerned. If there's any changes to the skin, that's very important. Any changes to the eyes, they are very highly visual predators, and the eyes actually help them swallow prey. So anything that can impact the eye could potentially impact their ability to eat. Some amphibians will also become a little bit bloated in their cecum, so that's basically their abdomen, and that's also a concern. They are predisposed to liver disease, kidney disease, and some cancers, and as well as infection, and that can lead to fluid buildup in their abdomen, which makes them look bloated even if they're not eating. So I would say if there's anything off, these creatures are very, very fragile. They're very hard to maintain in captivity. They have a lot of very specific requirements. They definitely need to be brought to the vet as soon as possible.
All right, that's important, yeah. So, again, those are the kind of the things to think about. And, again, those changes, chances are you may notice it, but sometimes, you know, you don't want to wait too long, right?
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I think there's a balance between having amphibians and they're fragile and they're very prone to stress. And so the concern is it more stressful to take them out of the enclosure to go to the vet when they've never really left the enclosure, right? And then putting them in a car, that's very stressful. But I think there has to be a balance between recognizing that that's a necessary stress to make sure that we're getting them healthy.
What about when it comes to how prone are amphibians to environmental issues or perhaps accidental toxins, right? Is that something they're prone to?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that's a great point. So like I was saying, they're very fragile. And Rob brings up an excellent point that they're very, very exquisitely sensitive to changes in the environment. So they absorb things through their skin, and that includes toxins. So even bleach, if you're bleaching out the cage, that can actually potentially really negatively impact them. And so the way that the enclosure is being cleaned or not cleaned is very important. The water quality, especially for an axolotl, for example, versus a White's tree frog, is going to be a different kind of requirement. Or an African bullfrog is going to need different water quality requirements compared to all of those animals I just mentioned. So environmental toxins are actually very important. And, you know, just going off from like a wildlife perspective, there's a lot of things that we're inadvertently, right, putting into the environment. And the first animals to be impacted are actually amphibians. And so we're starting to see changes in their population and their ability to reproduce because of those toxins in the environment.
Oh, boy. That's sad. I think about that. I just always feel that they're prone, you're right, with that skin absorption. What are some things if someone, because again, you're right, might be thinking, I'm going to do some cleaning, but the chemicals, even if there's a trace amount or something left behind, that could impact my pet. How do I properly clean an enclosure then? What's okay?
Yeah, and so it's a little bit more complex, but I would say kind of the general rule of thumb would be making sure, obviously, that amphibian has, like if an owner is trying to do a complete cage change, then we want to make sure that amphibian has a nice temporary enclosure as well. I'd probably do a little bit of dish soap, maybe some white vinegar, unless we're dealing with an infectious disease, and then we'd have to talk about what kind of disinfectants to use. But honestly, if we're going to do an entirely complete cage change, it would actually be best to have a second enclosure set up for that amphibian. And then that way the tanks between can be cleaned. Most of the time that's not really necessary, and so we're going to do more of a spot cleaning. And I think to be on the safe side, again, depending on the animal's enclosure, like if we're doing more of a terrestrial frog, then using a little bit of Dawn dish soap with some wet washcloth is fine, versus an axolotl, we would be talking about really the equivalent of care for like a fish. So that would be very, very different, and maybe not even any kind of, like, I probably wouldn't recommend any cleaner at all, like maybe just scraping the side of the wall, you know, and vacuuming. So it's a little bit different depending on the species.
We're talking to Dr. Kira Berg from Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist. It's our Paws and Claws segment. And if you have any questions, text in at 781-837-4900, or we'll use it in a future segment, but you can always connect with us. If you have a question for Dr. Berg at 781-837-4900, she's got years of experience. Anthony, you have a question when it comes to amphibians?
I mean, my question is,
okay, go ahead.
Jump off a little bit of the environment is in New England specifically, you know, these animals sometimes come from diverse climates. How do you deal with the climates and the seasons changing in New England? Is that like keeping your room a certain temperature? I just want to hear about that.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So having pets in New England that aren't originally from New England can definitely be a challenge, especially in the winter and the summer. Amphibians tend to be more sensitive to heat than they do the cold, but obviously we need to be careful. So like reptiles, for example, they love the summer and winter is not really their friend here. Amphibians tend to be more of the shoulder season guys that they really, really love. The summer, if it's too hot, then we have to be extra careful with making sure that we have the ability to provide some form of AC, because even a fan, depending on where that amphibian is from, is not going to be sufficient. So some axolotl owners even have water coolers so that it doesn't get too hot in the water, because even room temperature water, depending, might be too hot for them. And then in the winter, we'd have to, you know, provide heat support. So we always have to keep in mind that the changes in the temperature and humidity, even from an outside perspective, you can feel when your house is 32 outside, even if it's set to, you know, 68, right? Like you can feel the difference in the environment in your house. And so your animals feel that too. And so making sure that there's really good temperature and humidity monitoring with the in the form of thermometers and hygrometers, like digital ones in multiple areas around the tank and in the tank, is going to be really important to make sure that we're trying to keep things as stable as possible for that animal.
Mm, good stuff. All right, Dr. Kira Berg with us for this week's Paws and Claws. Once a month, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist joins us. And, of course, you can always find out more on their website. Don't forget to check that out at CapeCodVetSpecialist.com. And Dr. Kira Berg is with us this week as we're talking about amphibians and the importance of what to know and how to care for them and make sure they live the best life. And Dr. Kira Berg, always good to have you on for Paws and Claws.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you. We'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming up, we'll get a check of traffic.